Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Wednesday, December 8th, 2010, episode 28, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, horse people. Good morning, Glenn.
Gotta go feed the horses. Gotta give them hay. Gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses. Gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go.
Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go feed. I'm bouncing on my ball this morning on Marianne Kennedy, Gotta Go Feed. And, of course, you can find all Marianne Kennedy's music at MarianneKennedy.com. We're going to hear the rest of that one. I haven't played that one yet, and it's so catchy. We're going to play the rest of that one after the news today.
Yeah, that'll be in my head all day long. Thank you very much. And I'm assuming that the person feeding your horses, like you said, would be a human popsicle because it is what? 7 degrees in Lexington right now? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm looking at my little temperature thing, and it says 7 right now. Yep.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
It's pretty chilly. We're going to get up, though. It's good. We're going to get up. The positive news is we're getting up to 24 today, 1 degree warmer than yesterday.
Wow, that's a big day. That's a big day. I was outside riding in my T-shirt yesterday, because it was 80 degrees.
It is a chilly one in the central part of this country, and I know that that's probably... Jennifer went out and rode yesterday, though, didn't you, Jennifer?
You betcha. I'm not letting the weather stop me.
Well done, girl. Well done. You're tougher than I am. I would definitely not be riding in 7-degree weather.
Oh, no, you know, I've ridden in lightning storms and hurricanes, and, you know, if, you know, time to go riding, time to go riding.
I understand.
Now, she didn't ride for an hour, though, maybe a couple
minutes,
right?
We were only out for about a half an hour, but, it needed to be done, needed to go riding.
Cool. That's great. Well, I was going to tell you guys before, I teach lessons over here at Flyover Farm, and I had one of my students fall off the pony for the first time. It was so sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we have this little Hackney pony. She's 11 years old, and the pony's 7, and we kind of, this is like Rescue Central. We rescued the pony, and my student Rachel was on him, and it was time to get him to canter for the first time. And he didn't buck or anything, but he just kind of took off because he was pretty scared. And it was the sweetest thing. And does this not remind you of being an 11-year-old girl riding a horse or a pony that you want so bad, but yet you go to canter, and he took off, and she hit the ground, and the first thing she says is, "Mom, can we still have him?" And it was just the sweetest thing because she wants this pony so bad and she loves this pony so much, and she falls off and the first thing she says to her mom, "Can we still have him?" And she cries because she thinks her parents aren't going to let her have the pony anymore. So the pony belongs to me, but she would love to own the pony, as any, you know, 11-year-old girl would like to do. So I thought it was pretty cute, but she's okay. She just bit her lip a little bit, but it's just part of riding, especially riding a green horse, you know?
Now, do you remember the first time you fell off?
Oh, my gosh. The first time I fell off, it was so long ago, I could tell you a million times I've fallen off. But the first time, gosh, that would be, I mean, 30 years ago. I can't remember. Do you?
Jennifer, do you remember first time you fell off?
Gosh, no. No. I mean, like Jamie said, I'm the same way. I've fallen off millions of times, and there are a few spills that stick in my memory, and some of them are from when I was little, but mm-hmm. I don't think any of those were the first time.
I don't even remember who I kissed first, so there you go.
Oh, Glenn, that was
well,
too
clearly,
much information.
Glenn, it was your wife, obviously. Hello.
Oh, yeah, right.
But are you? But I do remember the first time I rode my horse that I had for 18 years, and he was a thoroughbred, and oh my gosh, I wanted a chestnut thoroughbred that was 16 hands so bad, and my instructor at the time brought one over for me to try, and brilliant idea. They put me on this off-the-track thoroughbred in a wide-open pasture, and they're like, okay, have fun, and so I'm like 10 years old. I'm like, oh, I'll canter him around the field, and I remember picking up the canter. And the next thing I remember is we are in the trees, and he has taken off with me, and he is galloping so fast. And he took off all the way across the field and was stopped at the fence line in the trees. And, of course, like I had the scratches on my face and scratches on my arm. I didn't fall off. I turned him around, and I rode, was white as a sheet, and I said, Mommy, I still want him. I still want him. So, you know, the love of the horse really, you know, counteracts any sort of bad thing that happens to you. And you think it's the only horse in the world and you must have that one. And I totally understood where little Rachel was coming from. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one, Jennifer Glenn, right?
No, that's
no,
true.
No. We had a policy growing up that us kids were not allowed to have any input on horse purchases. We weren't even allowed to see the animal because we would take every single one of them. You know, and there were six of us, so there was a lot of ponies. So the pony would, you know, we knew Mom and Dad went horse shopping, but we didn't get any information. There was no feedback ever until suddenly one day, every so often, a truck would show up at the house with a pony inside.
That's awesome. Yeah,
but that was the only way they could keep it, have any peace.
Take away the children's emotions. This poor Sandy, Rachel's mother, is like, she is like, cursing me. She, every time she comes out here, she's like, you and that pony, you have ruined my life with this pony. You had to get this pony. Had to have my daughter start riding this pony. And all I hear about is the pony, 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 all the time. And of course, Christmas is coming up, and the poor little girl's like, can I have the pony for Christmas? Can I have the pony for Christmas? And she's like, you and this pony have ruined my family. Of course, she's, you know, sort of joking, I guess. I hope.
Keep reminding her, a pony or a boy. Boys come much later if they have a pony.
That's true.
That is true,
but a green pony is never the best idea. So that's why we're taking
but
your time.
But they can grow up together.
Yeah. I would be going against everything I believe in if I sold them this pony without them being able to ride it. Oh, they'll learn together. No. I'm going to be here every step of the way.
I got to keep green on green handy so that we can play it at times like this Marion Kennedy song because it comes up so often. I just got to keep that one handy. If you want to call in and tell us about your pony adventures or the first time you fell off or you have a child that has gone through that recently or pony stories, give us a call at 347-637-3238. But we do have a fun show planned for you today, and Jennifer's going to tell us all about it.
On today's show, today we've got first coming up, Rochelle Stabler, horsewoman extraordinaire, who's over there at the American Association of Equine Practitioners Convention in Baltimore. She's going to give us a little sneak peek at her favorite seminar or seminars that she attended and some other goodies. And also Sherry Israel of the Dressage Mom blog is going to be on with us for a little while talking about a recent blog post that her husband put up. And this morning in our little pre-show chat, we had a great time with it. It should be a very interesting and insightful conversation. And also, it's Wednesday, so it's Horse Health Weekly with thehorse.com. Chris Giese is also at the AAEP convention and is joined today by the incoming president of the AAEP, Dr. Bill Moyer.
Fascinating.
All right, so we have a lot going on today, and I wanted to mention here that we had a couple of posts yesterday that I wanted to bring up on our Facebook page, and you can chat with all of our other listeners over on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning and become a fan over there. But the post from Jennifer Nichols, thank you so much for posting that. She posted a picture of all of her Omega Alpha goodies that she won, and she lined them all up nice and neat and took a picture, so that was kind of nice. And Lisa wrote in and said that she got her Carrots cargo jacket today, and she said she loves it so much. I said that Lisa has to get a picture of it on. So, Lisa, put that jacket on, get a picture of it on, and post it on Facebook. We want to see that. We want to see you in the jacket. So that's her Carrots Cargo's jacket that she won. And there was a bunch of other Facebook posts, and we appreciate everybody doing that over on our Facebook page.
By the way, Glenn, I would like to say that there are several people on Facebook that are all about getting a tailgating spot at Rolex on the cross country day. So we are mounting an army to make you get us a tailgating spot. I think it's a business expense you could write off. Horse Radio Network tailgating spot. Come see us. You know, we'll be making gumbo and grilling, you know, vegetarian hot dogs and tofu dogs. So come on out and see us. I'm selling it already.
That's really enticing. Boy, Jamie, you're really arguing for your cause there.
I said gumbo, hello.
Well, we were out to dinner with friends last night, and I want to give a shout-out to Susanna and to Nathan. And we were out to dinner, and she brought up, she said, have you seen the thing about tailgating at Rolex? And I'm like, shut up. Jennifer's like, yeah.
I'm telling you,
keep bugging Glenn. What we'd have to do then is maybe have a little contest here on the Horse Radio Network to see who would join us at our spots over there, get some free food, and get to hang out with us all day with our listener. So maybe we'll take a look at it.
Yay! Like I told you, we'll get you a little handicapped golf cart you can drive around. You won't have to walk the 100 miles back and forth to the media tent. We'll take care of you.
Thanks, Jamie. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'll get you one of the outriding horses.
You said you had a friend the other day that was saying, I can't listen to the show. And it reminded me that she didn't know that you could listen on your phone. We need to do a better job because we have new listeners every day of reminding people they can listen live right on their iPhones and most Droid phones just by opening up your browser and going to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I, like mobile. So horsesinthemorning.mobi. There's past episodes on that list, but right at the top it'll say listen now when we're live from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And we'd love for you to listen on your phone. I know there's a lot of people that do that because we get responses all the time from people who are doing that. And, Jamie, speaking of food, you know, you're bringing up tofu. Well, tofu is not my favorite, to be honest with you. So I wanted to bring up something that looks like it could be my favorite. And Susie Blackman, I think she's from Florida, Ocala, I think, has a blog called Horse-alicious, which, by the way, I think is a great name for a blog. And every day on her Facebook, I'm friends with her on Facebook, she does an item called Food Porn Daily. Yes, you heard right. Food Porn Daily. And I put a link in the show notes, and I'm gonna post it on, right now as we're talking, I'm going to multitask, and I'm going to post it right on our Facebook page. Link to today's food porn. Did you look at that?
Oh, Glenn, I've been staring at it for about an hour. This is an aptly named blog, Food Porn. This is a pumpkin cheesecake, and pumpkin cheesecake is amazing. But then you take Nutella, like the hazelnut chocolatey stuff from Europe, and which now you can get like in any grocery store, thank God, and you spread it on top of the pumpkin cheesecake. I don't know. I didn't read the ingredients, anything. It just is definitely food porn. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't need to know the ingredients. You just look at the picture and want to eat it. So, I mean, I almost I almost wanted to print it out and see if I could eat it that way, but they haven't invented that technology yet. So pumpkin cheesecake with Nutella chocolate ganache. I mean, there's just like the perfect heaven, pumpkin, cheesecake, and chocolate all in one thing right there.
Glenn, with your affinity to chocolate, I sometimes see a little woman in you.
We grew up near Hershey. We would go to Hershey all the time. So we'd get to go over to Hershey and, you know, buy our large bags of chocolate and stuff. And, of course, I think it was Jennifer's mother. Was it your mother, Jennifer? I don't know if she's there. Yeah, I think she's taking calls. But, look who's on the line. I just noticed. She must have been listening this morning. Hi, Susie. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Did you hear us talking about your food porn?
Well, I received your email, and so I thought I would try to call in.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. Now, how'd you come up the idea of tormenting me every morning with food porn daily?
Well, I have a horse blog, and then the blog that you're seeing is a mirror of my horse blog, but I use it as a live stream because I also have a Cowgirl Cravings blog. And so I do a lot of social media, and that enables me to have one website where I can do things that are different and interesting to other people. And also that particular platform allows me to share it on whichever websites that I want to in one fell swoop. I put foodie things out there because I'm always trying to attract cowboys, and so I'm always looking for good cowboy food.
Now, I would have to say that the cowboys are banging down your door if they get to see the food porn that you have today. So we certainly do appreciate you whetting our appetites, and now I'm going to have to go and either attempt to make it or maybe attempt to just go buy it.
Yes, maybe the Cheesecake Factory is around there. Or just a jar of Nutella would work for me.
Yeah, true. And true. Nutella and I are very good friends. We are very good friends.
I understand.
Well, Susie,
I'm enjoying your show. Do you have a chat room also?
Well, actually, we use our Facebook page as our chat room. Our listeners go on there and do postings and chat with each other about the topics of the day. So just search for Horses in the Morning on Facebook, and that's what we really use in our chat room. And I just posted your food porn daily, the pumpkin cheesecake, up there. So we'll keep an eye on what the food is every day. I do have a question for you, though. You said you do another blog called Cowgirl Cravings. Isn't there only one thing that cowgirls really crave?
I don't know.
Horses
is what I was thinking. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking.
You'll find that's not the first thing that I think of.
PG. Keep it PG.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Susie. We appreciate you calling.
Yes, and I will share something on your website because I'm sure I'll write about this today. And so I'll post it on your page, and I thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Susie. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was a nice surprise.
Busted.
She sounds like a feisty one, Susie.
I know. That was pretty impressive. But, yeah, I think I'm going to have a visit with my Nutella today. Sorry.
Think you should have Susie go along with you out to the National Finals Rodeo on Friday out in Las Vegas because, you know, it's going to be you and the girls. I think Susie would liven up your party.
I think she'd get me in trouble.
Speaking of which, hubby left yesterday, right?
Yes, I had to drop my husband off at the airport. He is, first of all, let me say, he cannot believe that he is not going to Vegas to the NFR with his new wife. Okay, let me just throw that out there. But he's been called to duty. He is heading to Pakistan for a couple weeks. So, you know, if you pray, just say a little prayer that he makes it home safely. I would certainly appreciate that. But yeah, I dropped him off at the airport and it was, you know, tear filled. And he's only going to be gone 2 weeks. That's how long I guess it takes to fly a jet back and forth to Pakistan. But yeah, so I'm solo for 2 weeks and I'm going to Vegas, baby.
Well, I can't think of anything better to while away the time while your husband's gone.
That is right.
We have our first guest on the line, and actually Jennifer is going to introduce her today.
Thank you very much. Oh, well, press my button so I'm on the air. And
hello.
We have coming up on the line here Rochelle Stabler, horsewoman extraordinaire. Let me hit it. Did you hit the button, Glenn? Are you there, Rochelle?
I am here. I'm here in sunny Baltimore. Sunny but cold Baltimore.
What's the temperature there?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's in the 30s, but the wind chill is dragging it down even further. But the sun's shining, so
can't complain. Can't complain. There we go.
Yeah.
So you were at the AAEP convention. Have you been there for the duration?
I have. Got here Saturday. Mm-hmm. Spent the morning at the aquarium, though, and then set up. I was here helping a friend. Fran Yoga at Hawk Care and Lameness. I know she's a friend of yours, too. Sunday was the big day, the opening day, the big trade mm-hmm. show. That finished yesterday. And today I'm here. They're having a whole day of just strictly farrier talks, as well as some ongoing veterinary talks. But today's a farrier. So there's hundreds of people walking around that look like farriers. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that ties into that whole conversation about dating your farrier or not.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a trend. There are a lot of veterinarians that marry farriers. I wonder, someone should do a study and see exactly how many.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's a good idea. You know, you save a lot of money that way.
Yeah.
Either way.
I don't know. Exactly. Yep. You just look down and you can tell who's a vet and who's a farrier. Just look at the shoes.
Okay. So you're telling me they don't break out their special Buster Browns for the convention?
I've seen a lot of really nice, stylish cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
I've also seen a few pairs of unpolished, eye-working these everyday boots.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's definitely been some high heels. But on the majority, it's been sensible shoe day. So
what's the percentage of high heels on the farriers?
Yes, well, they make their own, obviously. It's all
what a day we have gone here. What a day we have gone here. First, we have talks about cowboys, and now we're talking about farriers. I see this day as just going a certain direction.
I
and
love
the food
it.
Porn, obviously, yeah. So, yeah. And I am also a Nutella fan, so... Yeah.
Well, you have the accent, so you have to have been born. They probably put it in your bottle when you were a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that and some other things I think my mother used to keep me quiet when I was a child.
Uh-huh. Old school.
Now we've moved on to booze. I love it.
And it's not even that time yet. Well, it is somewhere in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It is somewhere. So, steering it back to the where we started, do you have a favorite seminar or meeting that you have already gone to or that you're looking forward to at this little deal?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to doing some of the farrier seminars. I tried to go to seminars that I could use myself as a technician. Some of them are way over my head, you can imagine. But
mm-hmm.
Definitely enjoyed. I just went to a rehabbing seminar, and that was fantastic, talking about how to start horses on rehab pretty soon after injury was the whole idea, especially kind of tendon, muscular injuries. Once they get over that, they're giving you like a three-day initial trauma period, and then they were saying, get back into it. And they were drawing from experience in the human rehabbing, which is obviously a good idea. We're all mammals. And then there's been a couple that I won't mention that were little, you know, monotone speakers. You're in these very dark lecture halls, and it's pretty hard not to fall asleep. But they have a great system here where they have, there's an hour and a half, it's called a round table topic, where you'll sit in a room and there's a couple of people talking, but they're discussing new treatments. and I went to one on injecting joints the other day, and that one was great because the vets would say, oh, I'm using such and such a product, so I'm using this one. So it was a great way to exchange ideas. So that was really good. But then there are also the traditional lectures, which what they do here is they keep them very short. There are 15, 20 minutes at a time. And so you get a lot of information, but in a short period of time, and you can get up and go and walk around for 10 minutes and then come back, and you haven't been stuck anywhere for an hour. So actually really great learning here.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Having a good
time.
Now,
I didn't realize that, and maybe I'm incorrect in assuming this. You're a veterinary technician, and I always thought that the AAEP was for veterinarians. So is the AAEP meetings open to the public?
No, they are not. They're open as a technician portion. They're also having a farrier day, and then the regular veterinarian portion also. So they try, instead of having one meeting, they try and get as many people as possible to these meetings. They also have a huge trade show. They want to get exposure to other people too. So, no, I mean, at the trade show, there are a lot of farrier equipment. So they're definitely catering. They're trying to get as many people as possible, which is a good idea. And veterinarians work as part of a team. You work with your technician and you work with your farrier. So no, it's definitely open. It's not open to the public. It's pretty expensive to come, you can imagine. And the veterinarians, to keep your licensure up, you have to attend so many continuing education classes anyway, and so do the technicians. So that's what these are for, really.
Okay, gotcha.
So while you're there hanging out at the convention, we're all about the food here on the Horse Radio Network. What's the food score there? Because it's a convention.
Gotcha. Well, I have to tell you, I'm going to have to grade the food. You don't get breakfast unless you go to some of the fancy meetings, so I didn't get to go to those. So breakfast has been at the hotel, which is a bowl of cornflakes or something. And lunch, on a score of 1 to 10, ooh, we're talking a 2.
Ooh, oh, no.
Ow.
It's a boxed lunch, and it has a cookie and a bag of chips. And you get a Coke or something. Or I can mention trade names. I don't know. Coca-Cola. I have to say Pepsi in the same word, in the same sentence. And really a bit dodgy on the sandwiches. They weren't the best. So, but that's okay. I've been eating at what's that place that has all the really good Mexican food? It's a chain. I've forgotten the name already. But I've been eating there about 3 times. I've had dinner there 3 times. So it's good. A burrito every night for the past 3 nights.
Ooh.
Yum.
I'm not going to say it.
So
I have one there, and I'm not saying it.
So we have the English girl eating Mexican burritos in Baltimore.
Exactly. Exactly. Great. And if you guys ever get a chance to come here, check out the aquarium. They have an amazing aquarium here. It's really good.
Yes, they
do.
Like
5 or 6 yep. floors. Yeah.
The Baltimore's Inner Harbor is really a cool place. They have a bunch of restaurants. They do have a cheesecake factory there.
Did eat there already. Yep. Well, actually,
I
went and got cheesecake there.
that counts.
So good.
That counts.
Nothing like Cheesecake Factory. That's our favorite restaurant in the whole world, just because the portions are huge, the food's excellent, and the cheesecake out of this world.
Oh, yeah. And here, too, they have such a great harbor. They have probably 2 or 3 kind of inner harbors that come in. And so all of the restaurants seem to have a waterfront view. So that's rather nice, actually. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Except it's cold.
Well, thank you, Rochelle. We appreciate
You're welcome.
Calling in and giving us an update on the AAEP.
Thank you very much. And Glenn, I just wanted to mention, I hear you're going to be having a tailgating party at Rolex this year.
Yeah.
We'll have you there.
All right. Send me a seat. I'll be coming.
Well, I'll tell you what. Right now on Facebook, Jackie says that she'll bring the brownies for the tailgate party.
Woo.
And Robert Dunn chimed in and said he'll bring the beer. So I guess the party's starting.
Yeah.
All
right. Rochelle. You make a pretty wicked scone, and yeah.
That's right. I'll make you scones with clotted cream.
We had that, and it's pretty darn yummy.
Okay. It's a date.
Okay.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rochelle.
Bye. Glenn, by the end of this, you're going to have to rent out about 15 of the tailgating spots. Just so we can fit everybody in. I love it.
I think we should definitely, we had talked about having a meetup at somewhere during Rolex for all of our fans and all of the hosts to get together, and I think we're going to have to do that at some point. The problem with the tailgate spots is they'll allow 8 people per car, and apparently they're going to be pretty strict about it. So that's, that, you know, we would need 15 tailgate spots.
Well, we can always accommodate. Tailgate in the parking lot of the campground, but you know, I think we should maybe just take a head count and see how many we actually should purchase, thanks to the Horse Radio Network.
I love how you spend our money, Jamie. You did a good job. It's like having 2 wives.
Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it.
Hey, I just saw an article today on. And we'll get to our next guest hopefully here shortly. But and we also have a sponsor this half hour. But I wanted to tell you real quick that I guess it's official now that Big Jake over there in England, he's a Belgian gelding, Belgian draft horse. He resides in Smoky Hollow Farm. Actually, oh no, this is actually in the United States. He resides at Smoky Hollow Farm in Wisconsin. And Big Jake is now the biggest horse in the world, judged by Guinness. He measures at 9 years of age, 20.2¾ hands. So
that's
one big horse. The biggest one I've ever seen in person is we were at a draft horse auction once, and we saw an over 19 hand. I think it was a Belgian. And they, you know, that one was huge. I can't imagine 20½ hands. That's just enormous.
I rode an 18-hand warm blood, and I mean, I had vertigo up on that thing. So I can't imagine sitting on a 20.2-hand horse. That's insane.
No. Well, we're going to try and get the owner of the horse on. It would be fun to talk to them and see what challenges they have in dealing with a 20½-hand horse. You know, I noticed they said 20½¾. You know how that is when you're a kid and you measure the inches and you go with fractions too, and then it seems like the taller they get, they do that again. In the middle, you just give round off. Are you at the when you're 5'2"? You're 5'2"?
Glenn, thank you very much. I am 5'2½. So
see, I know. Yeah, that just proves my point. Well, this half hour is sponsored. This half
I'm
hour
almost
is sponsored
5'3".
By. Back on track. We'll be right back with our next guest. I think we have Sherry Israel of the Dressage Mom blog calling in. So we'll talk to her in a minute right after these words from our title sponsor, Back on Track. There's a company that we just love that offers products to improve lifestyle and mobility, and they have been the mainstay in European therapeutic therapies for many years. Plus, they are used and endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, and show jumping riders worldwide. We are talking about Back on Track, of course. If you're looking for a quality holiday gift for any horse lover that will truly benefit their horse, then look no further than any of Back on Track's products, including exercise boots, bell boots, saddle pads, sheets, and so much more. You can find all of their products at backontrackproducts.com. That's Back on Track. products.com or give them a call at 888-758-9836. That's 888-758-9836. Well, this is Glenn the Geek back with you with Jamie Jennings, and we're here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track. And this morning, our next guest, we have with us somebody that I got to meet recently and who does a very popular blog called Dressage Mom, because that's what she is, and that's Sherry. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. It's nice to speak with you. Again?
Yes, it's nice to talk. Yeah, I haven't talked to you in quite a while. And, you know, we're having you on, and I think that your husband was going to be calling in here too, which I'm thrilled about. We're having you on because you did a post, and I follow all of your posts over there at dressagemom.blogspot.com. And you're also a contributor to the Facebook page over at Equestrian Collections, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I had you on because I read your husband's latest post, or his first post, actually. And Jamie read it. We all read it this morning. We had some very interesting conversation before the show about it. And I said, you know, we had to get you on to talk about this because it was just, it almost made you want to cry. So we don't have time to read it here on the air. Can you just give us a brief, the Reader's Digest version of the post?
Well, basically, when Craig and I started dating, I had already had my horse, and I had had previous relationships that hadn't gone well for a variety of reasons, but the horse was always an issue because, as horse riders know, they take a lot of time, they sometimes take a lot of money, and a certain amount of commitment if you're going to be planning on competing, or, like, say, if you're breeding or running a business. And so when I started dating Craig, I made it clear that the horse was part of the deal. And for a number of years, it didn't seem to be a big issue. But in the last 5 years, unfortunately, my horse has had problems with lameness. And having to diagnose the lameness, treat the lameness, it's been not only time-consuming but also expensive. And now we have a family. We've got two daughters, and it's been very frustrating for him to deal with all of it, plus see me upset that I have these problems with my horse that I'm trying to deal with. And this latest round of my horse had surgery, and then he had complications, which ended up he had to have another stay at the hospital. And so it's very involved. And this latest round, we actually sat down and really talked about what exactly is his problem with my horse. I shouldn't put it that way, but, you know, he doesn't like this whole thing. He doesn't like dealing with it, and it makes him angry and upset. So he gave it some thought, and he had some very thoughtful things to say, and that mm-hmm. is what my post is about. And I don't know if he's on the line. Maybe he can talk about it. Or
yeah, Craig, actually. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the Horses in the Morning show. We appreciate you calling in.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And welcome to Horse Husband Central. I appreciate any horse husband who comes on the show because I'm so outnumbered here.
You're amongst friends. Yeah,
you know,
you're amongst friends.
I can relate to what you're saying because, you know, I think I've lived through that too. And but the end, and I don't want to give it away. I really want people to go there and read the whole blog. What you said at the end really got to me because I think it's horse husbands and boyfriends or whatever you have. You come to that realization at some point. Sometimes some of us are sooner than others, and sometimes it takes years, and it just hit home with me when I read that.
Well, great. I mean, it's not easy being in a mixed marriage. You know, since I don't ride at all, it's sometimes difficult for me to really understand the passion that Sherry brings to her horse and her riding. And you're absolutely right. It's been 10 years in the making, and maybe I finally figured it out.
So question here, because I know you don't want to let the cat out of the bag, Glenn, but we've got to talk about your epiphany. You know, like, I love the first sentence of the blog. It says, Hi, Sherry's husband here. I generally don't poke my nose into this odd and mysterious world of horse people, which I think is so great because every man thinks that we are odd and mysterious in the way that we deal with our horses. But going through, you know, all of the lamenesses and men, we love men, but, man, they always just try to fix things. You have a problem, women want to vent, men want to fix. It's just nature. And so reading about how you were trying to fix the problem of your wife being upset all the time and just say, well, let's get rid of the horse. That'll fix everything. But really, you know, you kind of put it in a different situation. And can you talk about how you had your epiphany?
Well, it's something that we've discussed and we've talked about a lot. And when we first started dating, I mean, Sherry made it clear that she and her horse are a package deal, that if I can't deal with her horse and her riding, then it wasn't going to work out between the two of us. So as to how I had my epiphany, I guess it's after a decade of dealing with things, I really tried to think about things from her vantage point. And like I said, I don't want to give it away, I guess, if we want people to go and read it for themselves, but it took a lot of introspection on my part and trying to figure out just why she continually puts herself through this stress when, right, my solution would be, you know, don't stop riding, just get rid of this particular horse, which seems to give you so much grief.
But then you kind of transposed it onto, you know, you kind of personified it a little bit and came up with an analogy that related to your daughter. And that was the way I think that you were able to see it clearly.
Right, absolutely. I mean, after this latest round of vet visits and expensive hauling and everything, I knew a fight was coming. So I started to think of, you know, how I could express my, you know, anger to Sherry in maybe a more constructive way. And, you know, the analogy I thought of is that if our oldest daughter, who's now only 7, but if she were a teenager and she was involved with some guy who she said she loved and couldn't live without and needed to spend time with, but if every other date she came home crying or she spent all of her money on him, or even if things were good, she was still stressed out because she was just waiting for them to turn bad, that we wouldn't stand for that. Both Sherry and I would say, look, this guy's no good for you. You need to dump him. You need to, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. It's when I thought about it, that's not a good analogy. It doesn't really hit home. It's what the epiphany, what occurred to me is that it's more to the point if our daughter were an adult and married and she was, her husband suddenly came down with some sort of life-threatening illness like cancer or MS or something along those lines. It occurred to me that if that were the case, my counsel to her wouldn't be to walk away and dump the guy. I would say, look, you're in a long-time committed relationship with this man, so you need to support him. You need to be by his side and not give up hope. And that rang a little more true for me because Sherry is in this long-term relationship. She has a relationship with her horse that is much longer than the relationship she has with me.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Now, if I might pose and be the devil's advocate, I suspect there are people in the world who are passionate about horses, equally passionate about horses, but there are some people who have relationship A, the first one you describe, and there are people who have relationship B, the second one you describe, with their horses. There are some people who have that relationship that it's the same as a bad relationship with another human being, in that the solution really is get the horse to go away.
Well, let me say that I have had that first relationship with my very first horse. And I went through a lot to have this horse, and it's a big, long story, and I won't get into it. Eventually, I'll write a blog post about it. But I went through a lot to have this horse, but after working with him, I wanted a show horse. After working with him for a couple of years, I realized that didn't make him happy. And we were making each other miserable. He hated when I rode him. I hated to ride him. It was one big fight after another. He started to rear. And I thought, you know what? He needs a different home. He needs someplace where he can be happy. And I need a horse that I can be happy with. I loved him. I thought he was a fantastic little animal. But it wasn't working. It just, we couldn't make it work out. And so it broke my heart, but I sold him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm capable of getting rid of a horse that I don't feel is right for me, or it just wasn't the right fit for either one of us. But
right,
this
to recognize
that
there's two personalities involved. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and it just didn't work. And so I ended that relationship, and he ended up being a trail horse at a camp for kids, and they loved him and he loved it. And we were both happy because then I bought my current horse, Caswin, and this relationship is, you know, I don't think a lot of people get to have these kind of relationships with horses. He's my equine soulmate, and they, that may sound
silly and touchy-feely, but I'm not sure I could ever have a relationship with another horse that I have with this one. And so that is why I'm willing to go as far as I've gone for this animal, because it's he, like Craig said, I have a relationship with him that it's on a deeper level than just horse and owner.
Well, and that's where I find that the blog that he wrote is so, you know, touching, because there are so many of us that struggle. I mean, I have a horse right now that I'm struggling with the lameness thing, and your blog kind of encouraged me not to give up, Craig, and I appreciated, like, I read it, and I was like, I think he just changed my life, because it is, it's a thing where you can either quit and give up, but you know what? When you think of it in the way that you said, our daughter, like, if her husband got sick, we wouldn't say get rid of him. And I know that you have to have a pretty deep relationship with your horse to use that comparison. But the fact that you finally kind of had that epiphany and realized that your wife loves this animal, she is doing all that she can, and she is doing the right thing, and now you're supporting her. I just think that's phenomenal. And the last sentence of your blog got me too, because you're like, I have a tiny bit more understanding of what's going on in Sherry's head, and maybe for the first time, I think she's doing the right thing. Yes! That was hard to admit, wasn't it?
It was, but, you know, don't take that to mean that suddenly everything is unicorns and rainbows, because I still don't like to see how much money, you know, is spent towards, you know, the horse, and how much time Sherry has to spend. And I guess it's an evolving thing. My epiphany wasn't absolute. It's something that I will continue to think about and work on, I guess.
All right. In that case, Craig, we'll keep you in the Horse Husbands Guild. You can still remain a member.
I tend to think of myself as a horse widower more than a horse husband.
Oh, no!
Well, I think that now, hopefully, that, you know, Craig doesn't like the vet bills and all the time and all the stress, and I don't like them either, so maybe now we can sort of commiserate on how much all this sucks together instead of fighting about it with each other.
Yeah.
Well,
I hope. In the end, you know, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I've been a horse person a lot longer than I've been married, but I've realized that, yeah, the husband does come first, and as much as we, as horse women, don't want to admit it, as a wife, I'm having to kind of swallow that pill and learn that. And it sounds like you guys are kind of coming to a middle ground agreement, arrangement, and at least you've opened the lines of communication.
Well,
it only took 10 years.
Well, we've worked hard at it. I mean, it's taken a lot of compromises on both our parts and a lot of communication, and we do work very hard on making it work, and, you know, hopefully it'll continue to work.
I feel like you should be on a couch somewhere.
I want to thank both of you for coming on, you know, and spilling all of this on the air. I know that probably wasn't easy to do, but I certainly appreciate you doing that. I recommend everybody, I just posted a link on our Facebook page, everybody stop over to the website dressagemom.blogspot.com and take a look at it. If you're married at all to any level of horse husband, by the way, we've graded horse husbands here. So if you're married to any level of those horse husbands, I think you're gonna relate to this blog post. And Sherry and Craig, thank you so much for being on. And you guys have a very Merry Christmas, regardless of the horses.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks for having us. It was fun, and I hope to see you again sometime soon.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Craig. So that was Sherry and Craig from Dressage Mom. What an interesting conversation.
It's like the chicken or the egg. You know, you're never going to get an answer that satisfies everybody, but the conversation is out there. And like I said, I'm a little inspired by him kind of coming to the realization that she might be doing the right thing. You know, like you said, it's not perfect yet, but at least it sounds like they're on the right track, and that kind of gives us all a little bit of hope with our own significant others.
Well, and it did take, you know, I meant what I said there. It did take a little bit of guts for them to come on the air here and spill it all out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so we appreciate that because I think that's going to benefit other, I am sure right now, and you can call us at 347-637-3238. Are you going through something with your spouse, with your horse husband or boyfriend that's similar in nature to this? And tell us, you know, tell us about that. We would love to hear from you about that at 347-637-3238. Well, we're going to take a break here for the news, and we're going to be back with Horse Health Weekly and then hopefully take some of your calls a little later in the show. But here's Chris and today's news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. A Kentucky-based Tennessee Walking Horse Industry Organization, PRIDE, has declined to include new U.S. Department of Agriculture Horse Protection Act enforcement regulations in its 2011 horse show rulebook on the grounds that the mandate infringes on private entities' legal rights. The HPA forbids soaring, and the USDA is tasked with enforcing the law. The Act also authorizes the agency to certify licensed HIOs that meet HPA enforcement criteria. The 2011 protocol sets minimum uniform penalties for scar rule, soaring, use of foreign substances on horses, and failure to pass equipment and shoeing inspections. Earlier this year, the USDA informed horse industry organization managers in writing that they must include a mandatory minimum penalty protocol in their 2011 horse show rulebooks, and they must submit their 2011 rulebooks for the agency's review by December 1st. Last month, PRIDE informed the agency in writing that it is refusing to comply with the penalty protocol mandate. The USDA spokesman David Sachs confirmed that the agency received PRIDE's letter and that the agency would penalize HIOs that fail to adopt the mandatory protocol. Horse industry organizations' rule books are being reviewed, and if they do not meet USDA standards, they will be in violation of the Horse Protection Act and will face decertification. The recent Horse Mania 2010 auction held at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, raised $376,400. Most bids hovered around $5,000, and several lots went unsold. The fiberglass horses were designed and decorated by local artists and displayed on the streets of Lexington throughout the summer and World Equestrian Games. Proceeds from the auction went to Lex Arts Public Arts Fund and 84 other charities. The average sale price for a horse was $5,791. Dr. Andy Henderson was the first winning bidder to break into five figures when he won Cheval de 12 for $10,500. The United States Equestrian Federation has announced that Lexington, Kentucky will host the 2011 annual meeting between January 19th and 23rd at the Hyatt Regency and the adjoining Lexington Center. Nick Maupin rode Coco Mojo to the championship win in the United States Equestrian Federation's Saddle Seat Medal Final, presented by Elizabeth M. Goth. The final took place November 20th as part of the United Professional Horsemen's Association American Royal National Championship Horse Show in Kansas City, Missouri. With this win, Nick Maupin made history by becoming the first male rider to win the Saddle Seat Triple Crown, claiming victories in the National Horse Show Good Hands Final, UPHA Challenge Cup, and the USEF Saddle Seat Medal Final, all in the same year. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
And...
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
And I am Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek, listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track. And, you know, the AAEP is an annual veterinary conference. I think last year it was in Vegas. You know, several years before that, it's been in San Diego. And this year, the AAEP meeting is in sunny, beautiful, warm, gorgeous Baltimore. So, and Christy from thehorse.com is in Baltimore right now, and she's going to be joined by the brand new president of the AAEP, Dr. Bill Moyer of Texas A&M. So, Christy and Dr. Moyer, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us. What's the weather in Baltimore right now, you guys?
Well, I'll tell you, I got up a little too early to even tell you, but I think it's a pretty day at the moment and a little on the chilly side, but it's nice. It's not Texas.
That I'm upstairs at the convention center looking at a solidly frozen fountain right now. It is definitely on the chilly side, but the sunny part is right.
So I guess chilly wasn't a good description.
It's just cold.
It's just a little conservative. Well, thanks so much for having us on here today, and I wanted to talk a little bit with Dr. Moyer. First, Dr. Moyer, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your veterinary career?
Well, I'm old. Does that start it out pretty well? I've had a license for a little over 40 years. I'm a Colorado State graduate. And from that point, I got extremely lucky because this goes way back in the early 70s when there were hardly any internships and that sort of thing, and got one of the really nice ones at the University of Pennsylvania at New Bolton Center. So I began my career with a three-year stint there, mostly in equine surgery and that sort of thing. Built a practice just down the road, actually, from New Bolton, and did that for quite a period of time. And then got recruited back to the School of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania to develop a specialized service in lameness and shoeing. I was a former, or still am, a little bit of horseshoer and always had a fascination with it. So I developed a service back in the early 80s for lame horses and shoeing and that sort of thing, and had more than one farrier at that point. Ran that and did that up until 93, and was asked to interview for a position as department head for large animal medicine and surgery at Texas A&M, and was fortunate enough to be selected. So I'm a professor of equine sports medicine and department head at Texas A&M.
And let's talk a little bit
what
about
else do you
the
need to know.
That's
the
good.
Is,
That's good.
Okay. Well, the AAP is just an incredible organization. It began in 1954. Basically was, you know, about a dozen folks, for the most part, on the racetrack looking for ways and means to, number one, have more recognition, et cetera, within the, you know, in the nation and the world, and also to come up with a means of continuing education. So from that early beginning, it's grown to, I believe that I've heard that it is the biggest single species sort of an organization in the world. We've got over 10,000 members at this point. Probably 20 to 25% are folks from overseas. So it continues to grow.
Now, I've heard you talk to people about how special this group of equine veterinarians is. What sets it apart?
Well, I think a couple of things. This is, I guess, somewhat of a facetious remark. But, you know, I think people that work on horses are probably a little bit on the edge to begin with. You've got to have an enormous amount of passion and, you know, realistically a love affair with horses to want to do it, because at least in my case, and I think just about everybody I know, you know, at some point in time, you're going to get hurt. It's, you know, you're not working on 15-pound poodles. You know, you're working on things that, I mean, nicest animal in the world, don't misread me, but because of the size and the speed, people get hurt. And in many instances, you're doing things in the snow, the rain. I mean, I've done stuff post-hurricanes. I've been in all kinds of different things that is different than a small animal practice. We have a roof and you've got appointment. You know how that kind of a thing goes. So in a sense, self-selects for people with a great deal of passion. And to me, that is the biggest single thing that sets it off, is here's a group of professionals that have a love affair with their patients. Does that make sense?
Sometimes love-hate.
Oh, yeah, there's been some times, but you know, most of the hate times for me was often the guy holding the horse, not the horse.
You need a good tech.
Yeah, well, either that or, you know, sometimes, I mean, you get into so many different situations, you know, on a given morning I might be at the racetrack and the horses are being handled by just absolute professionals, and then that afternoon you're someplace else and nice people in the world, but, you know, you may be dealing with a horse that's had little or no discipline. And so, it just varies. But it's one of the really fun things about being, in a sense, a horse doctor, is that your days are never, ever the same. And that, for people like me, I enjoy that. I love it. But AAP's done such a wonderful job of organizing a group of people with that same love, and then putting things in such a way that we provide all kinds of continuing education experiences for, you know, at any level, not just the veterinarians, but the technicians. We've gone through others with owners and any number of different scenarios. So it's a pretty inclusive operation.
Very
don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. You did. That was great. So what's the significance of the AAP to horse owners is basically just in providing continuing education and better techniques and advanced knowledge to their own veterinarians, yes?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's an obvious kind of a situation. But, the other aspect that AAP members have access to is an appreciation not just of what's brand new and what's the best to do medically or surgically or anything along those lines. But it's also a conduit to having a better appreciation of horses that do all kinds of other things for a living, a bunch of different exposures, et cetera. So in a sense, an owner who's dealing with an AAP member is probably dealing with an individual that also has a pretty good appreciation of the horse world. Because there's so many different aspects other than, it got lame or it's got colic or something along those lines that are going to, help to determine the direction that the horse industry goes.
Very good. And as the incoming president of the AAP, what does your role entail in guiding that industry and the organization?
You mean besides being frightened with all I have to do?
And being probably the most highly scheduled person at the convention this week.
that's part of the darn thing. Well, I'm one of these individuals that kind of grew up with the idea that you lead by working for the people as opposed to the other way around. The beauty of this particular position as president is, basically, you've got so much support from so many different aspects within the organization. So as president, in a sense, for that period of time, you in a sense, end up being the voice.
Absolutely. And what are some of the AAP's future goals and directions?
Well, I think realistically, the future goals are, in a sense, it's not like we're inventing goals as we go. I think the issues that are out there facing our industry in general are, shared by the AAP, and that has to do with an enormous number of different welfare issues that are there and growing, in many cases for all the right reasons, but difficult at times to discern and be able to deal with. There's a lot of things that we're faced with. For example, if I've got the number right, I think this country of ours loses about 1 million acres of pasture a year to development and golf courses and all the other kinds of things. So the challenges that we're faced with are a continuing shrinking of land mass, et cetera, and you know, trying to preserve the love affair that we all have for the horse. So our future goals realistically are our goals today, and that is to keep up with the industry, attempt as best we can to be on the forefront with regard to equine research and what's out there, and yeah, realistically, what are the best practices?
Now, Dr. Moyer, I've got to tell you, I've always said two things about golf courses, and if you're a golfer, I do apologize for offending you, but I've always said that golf course is either a really, really good galloping lane or a really, really big waste of a good pasture.
I would agree with both. I think, you know, particularly like on a par five, it'd be a perfect place to breathe. If they put a dog leg in it, that could be a problem. But if you're going to run the horse in England, it'd be perfect.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
I do play golf from time to time, but I'd much rather see it in pasture than guys walking around in funny-looking shorts.
Amen, brother.
There you go. But see, sometimes it can be both. You know, the first horse that I ever rode belonged to a friend of my mom's, and she happened to live near a golf course. And well, the maintenance track on that golf course was a fantastic place to run bareback and let the dog try to keep up.
See,
yeah, and if you can do it before the groundskeeper shows up, well, you can do it without getting caught.
Well,
you gotta get in and out.
Yeah, I've ridden on the golf course at the Myopia Hunt Club. I can't tell you how many times because the track that they make for the golf carts is just hard pack. And we now, mind you, if your horse took one step onto the green stuff, it was very expensive. But it was an awesome riding space. I think more golf courses need to do that.
I think you're into a marketing plan right now.
Yeah.
It's only expensive if you get caught, Jennifer. Come on.
Oh, I think they took DNA from those hoof prints.
How about if you turn golf into a little bit of polo? That'd be a new sport.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Groundskeepers might have a little bit more to do, but surely they wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Job security.
Exactly. Well, as we're here at the annual convention, as Jamie mentioned, this is the largest continuing education event for equine veterinarians worldwide. Is that right, Dr. Moyer?
Yes, by far.
And tell us a little bit about the convention.
I forget what the total attendance ends up being, Chris, but I think there's, a little over 5,000 people here?
It's a pretty busy place.
Yes, absolutely.
If you need veterinary care for your horse this week, forget it.
You're out of luck.
Wait till next.
They've left all the interns at home.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But, not everybody comes, but certainly a lot of veterinarians are here. Tell us a little bit about what kind of offerings are here at the convention for the veterinarians. What kind of topics have been presented this year?
Well, it pretty much covers the waterfront from that standpoint. We opened up the keynote with, I thought, just one of the most beautiful talks I'd ever heard with regard to the unwanted horse that Tom Lentz put together. So, and again, that has nothing to do with how many cc's or how you're going to treat colic, et cetera, but it was, you know, just pointed right at the welfare issues that exist within in the horse world. And then followed by an incredibly intensive state-of-the-art lecture with regard to the best ways to treat eye problems in horses. Then if you look at a given program from that point on, there are often three and four different sessions going on simultaneously. For instance, as I speak, there's an in-depth presentation by people that are experts in the field in upper airway disease. And then on the other side of the building, people are talking about joint therapy. And right now we have an entire one-day session that is, for those that are interested, that is a joint program for both horseshoers and veterinarians that have an interest in it. So probably to answer your question, I think just about any aspect of medicine and surgery is covered during this event, so it's a very inclusive.
Now, I am not.
Simultaneously, there's programs for vet techs that work on horses.
Now, I'm not a veterinarian, but listening to what you're talking about, it sounds like something that I would love to be at. And since the AAP meetings are not open to the public, maybe as the new incoming president, part of the job could be to organize an AAEP-type convention for horse owners. Like, you know, there's a little local vet clinic near my house that has a once-a-year seminar on whatever the hot topic at AAEP was. And they'll do a little bit about it, but, I mean, to be able to choose classes to go to about the stuff that you're passionate about, like I would love to learn more about suspensory rehab or colic, and is there ever going to be a potential for this to kind of be a horse owner type thing, or have I given you a really, really good idea?
Well, no, it's an excellent question. We've done it in the past. And interestingly enough, at least those that occurred in the past, they weren't that well attended.
Really?
Please don't take it as an indictment of horse owners, et cetera. But it's the difficulty in what you're talking about, or even for our folks, don't misread me, is scheduling. Because everybody is so incredibly busy, and then trying to put things together for a group of horse owners. In many instances, it depends on the breed they're in, because they may be dead center in the middle of breeding season. The other one's dead center in the middle of shows. You know, it varies enormously from that standpoint. And often some of the best approaches to the interest that you've expressed, in many instances, happens even better at a local level.
Okay.
If that makes sense to you. Because I mean, I've done lots of those over my 40 years of going all over the place with different kinds of situations. And often my expertise was coming from, in a sense, my experience in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Now, if you follow me, basically where I lived for that period of time, for the most part, it's a very wealthy area. And it's had horses on it for a couple hundred years, and Unionville and places like that are the kind of the center of fox hunting, and et cetera. And so the access to expertise and taking it to the next level and MRI and that sort of thing is often a given. Well, then you turn around, and the next thing you're doing it is in parts of the country that I'm in love with, out in the middle of nowhere in Montana. And a different set of circumstances, different set of expectations. And so it varies enormously from that standpoint. So that's the reason why I was saying some of it is better suited, I think, regionally. But the concept that you're talking about is forever on the table. Don't misread me.
Is it?
Yeah, because, horse owners are like horse doctors. I mean, you know, you don't own horses because you have a casual interest.
Right. You're
already broke the minute you buy one.
I'm sure Christy's wanting to jump in here and say, well, you can do that every day at thehorse.com. That's what we do.
Well, and we actually cover
exactly. So it's an interesting kind of a thing. And then you've got a whole generation of people that, unlike someone that's as ancient as I am, that, their whole life evolves around electronics. So they get all of their information on listservs and CDs, and, the whole thing. So it varies with the audience to attempt to answer your question.
Well, I think I just want to hang out with you, Dr. Moyer. I think that we should be best friends now, because I find you fascinating.
That's not a problem. All you have to show up.
And he's not such a bad dancer either.
Now it's just behind the scenes. All right, Christy, way
but
to
I,
go.
But I made sure that I brought my boots that have the leather soles, because you just can't slip and slide on that, anything that's, got any kind of traction to it. And you certainly don't want to look too stupid out there.
You got to have your dancing boots.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
That's important.
Absolutely. We have a good time at the celebration that occurs every year, which actually was last night.
All right, so we got to let you guys go in a second, but Christy, give me some behind the scenes, or Dr. Moyer, behind the scenes funny story about the AEP that we would never read about, besides Dr. Moyer dancing on the dance floor.
Oh, you mean something that I could actually repeat?
Yes. He's jumping.
Oh,
it's the best story from Aunt Ricky.
Oh, it just things like that just happen on a an every 5 minute kind of a basis, because again, this is something you may not necessarily understand, but this meeting has been going on for 56 years, and for the most part, and I don't have the history to tell you, but it has been basically either the last week or the first week in December forever. And mm-hmm. people in our business basically, in a sense, schedule their year around it. So mm-hmm. the opportunity to have a good time and listen to funny stories is basically because it's the one place where people come because they want to learn, but by the same token, they want to be with their colleagues, and they share all of these wonderful stories. If you've ever read All Creatures Great and Small,
mm-hmm.
every veterinarian in the United States could write the same book because of all the funny things that happen and go on. And so funny things happen at the convention as well. It's just it's one week of the year that has been, in my lifetime, the most sacred of them all, because you come and you're with people that have the exact same kind of on-the-edge craziness love. And, how's it getting better than that?
Hey, Christy,
well, thank you
next
for
week when you come
dancing.
On, Christy, next week when you come
I'm
on,
sorry?
We're going to have you. We're going to have Christy tell all the stories next week when she comes on when Dr. Moyer's not here.
Yeah.
Oh,
my lips are sealed. This is one person I really cannot afford to irritate right now.
We can.
I'll leave that to you.
Okay.
Too much fun. Well, I know we're out of time, but thanks so much for having us on here. And I do want to remind everybody that we are going to be quite a bit of extensive coverage of this convention at thehorse.com. We have articles. We have, we have three staff members here and a couple of freelancers writing. I used to write about 40 stories from this convention just myself. So we're going to have a lot of information on the convention as far as the talks that were presented. We're also doing video interviews with a number of the presenters. So there's going to be a lot of information. So in answer to your question, Jamie, about being able to get to some of this information, there's going to be a ton of it on thehorse.com over the next month or two as we get those written and reviewed.
Fantastic. Well, we do appreciate, Christy, you joining us every week from thehorse.com, and Dr. Bill Moyer, my new best friend of Texas A&M, the new incoming president of the AAEP, and we certainly hope we can call you guys again. Obviously, Christy will be on next week, but Dr. Moyer, I'm going to stalk you now. I've saved your phone number.
Oh, you got it. Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much for having us and allowing us to do this. It's much appreciated.
All right. Have fun, but not too much, you guys.
Well, this half hour is sponsored by FeedXL. If you're not too sure, speaking of horses' health, if you're not too sure whether you're feeding your horse correctly or whether your horse's diet is exactly right, and none of us ever are too sure, you want to stop on over to FeedXL.com. It just takes a couple of minutes to plug in information about your horse, the height and the weight and the breed and all that stuff. Then you plug in some information about what you feed your horse. Everything that goes into your horse, you put in there. They have over 2,500 different supplements and things and feeds and everything already in there. They've already calculated what's in every one of them. And what you do is put in what you're feeding your horse, and out pops this magical chart that tell you whether you're feeding too much of this or too little of that. It's put together by some doctors of equine nutrition. Matter of fact, a lot of equine nutritionists use FeedXL as their tool to figure out whether you're feeding your horse correctly or not. Well, you can do this for yourself just by going to FeedXL.com, taking a couple of minutes, and you'll find out whether you're feeding too much or too little, and you probably will be able to save some money with FeedXL just by learning if you're doing it correctly with your horse at FeedXL.com. Well, this has been a fun show here, Jamie, but I'll tell you what, we promised people that we were going, and speaking of feeding, this show has been great for transitions, by the way. Speaking of feeding, talking about FeedXL and feeding, this should be their theme song. I wanted you to hear it because I promised it earlier. You're going to love this. It's by Mary Ann Kennedy. It's called Gotta Go Feed. So enjoy this for a couple minutes. I'm bouncing on my ball.
Gotta give them hay. Gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses. Gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go. Gotta go feed the chickens, gotta gather eggs. Gotta go give them crack corn so they don't refuse to lay. Gotta go to the hen house before the morning's through. I can hear that rooster singing cock-a-doodle-doo. Procrastination, get out of that bed. Each and every morning, everybody must be fed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta.
My horses are staring in the window right now since I'm broadcasting at Flyover Farms. My horses and chickens are like, that is our theme song, Mom. That was Marianne Kennedy on Horses in the Morning. Brought to you by Back on Track. If a horse could ever like a song and want to download it, that would be the song that the horses and chickens would do. Oh, that's funny.
That tune, you're going to be hearing that in your head all day now. It's just, you got to go feed. You're going to be singing that, and it's just going to be, I was bouncing on my ball. That's a good ball bouncing song there.
Because you don't have to feed, you don't understand the stress that goes along with that song when you haven't fed your horses yet. I'm like, I got to go. Marianne Kennedy told me I had to go.
We just lost all our listeners. They just left to feed.
I know, right? Awesome. Well, that was a good one. Well, what a fun show this has been, Glenn, you know, from talking about, you know, girls and ponies to food to vets to, you know, as horse husbands. We have definitely covered the gamut today. And sorry if we can't get to many of your phone calls because the guests were so interesting this morning. So we will always take your phone calls at 347-637-3238 about any of the topics we talked about today. You can call the last couple minutes or you can call again tomorrow.
And we have a special announcement for everybody tomorrow that should be a lot of fun. We have a special guest coming on. We're not going to give it away. Let's just say it all started last week. And it's going to be something a lot of fun for the ladies in the audience. So that's coming up tomorrow. We'll have that announcement. Plus, how can you get any better than tomorrow? We have the world's smartest horse on. He's so smart, he's going to join us for the conversation. Isn't that right, Jennifer?
I'm sure. Absolutely.
Now,
or do we have the owner on, maybe?
Probably.
Definitely have the owner on, yeah.
Back to our special announcement. I want to make sure that all the ladies understand just how special this announcement is, and you're going to want to be here because, like, you know, back in my radio career, I interviewed, you know, my pop radio career. I went to award shows. I interviewed, you know, A-list celebrities. But I'm going to tell you, I have never worked as hard on a project as I have this one. With all the research and all the internet searches and all the talking to different people, this has been more enjoyable work than I have ever done for any radio show, ever.
I'm sure, and I'm sure it is just killing you. It's just, you're toiling away. You have not fed your horses in 2 days.
You know, it's like sweat, you know, pouring down. I've been working so hard on this. So women of the world, women of the horse world, join us tomorrow as we unite together to take on a very big project that will be very, very, very fun.
Well, that's great. And, of course, you can always listen to our shows at all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. We put all of our shows in one place there. And what a lot of people don't know is that if you like most of our shows or a lot of our shows or all of our shows and you listen to them all, you don't have to subscribe separately through iTunes. We actually have a feed that's over at horseradionetwork.com. Just click on the little iTunes button, and that's a feed that all of our shows go into, so you can get them all downloaded in one place. And so we have a lot of people actually doing that now. I'm always surprised the number of people who listen to all the shows. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. There's a little conversation going on over there this morning. And there's some volunteers now to drive Jackie. And let me see here. I'm going down on the page here. And Robert, there's a little Tina has volunteered to drive Jackie and Robert with the brownies and the beer, too, the tailgate, so they have transportation to get there. And it looks like this tailgate thing's taken a life of its own, much to my chagrin. So I guess we'll have to have Jennifer call and check on availability, because we want good spots, darn it.
Yeah, yeah. I know they're going to stick us in the back, but that's where the party can happen, so we can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, and you know what? It looks like... And also, Tina chimed in and said, you're outnumbered, Glenn. Slow Horse News will be happy to purchase a tailgating spot to share with Hit 'em listeners. So it's just coming in here one after another. And, you know, I'll tell you what, after this show, I'm hungry. I am hungry.
I'm starving. Got to feed the horses and myself. Hey,
so we are on Twitter also.
Yeah, Twitter at Horse Radio. And if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, iTunes, affiliate website, so you don't have to miss an episode. And I say that every day, but I mean it. And we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern with the world's smartest horse and the most awesome announcement ever, ladies. So, goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day and ride safely. Wear your helmet.